to indicate that the isa malacha is bayom and balayla, and eskar is bayom and balayla, if a person does malacha, and the isa achil ishti applies bayom, a separate pasuk, and eskar is an achil ishti bayom and balayla. So it sounds like, what do you mean a pasuk bayom and a separate pasuk balayla? They always announce on the radio the holiday begins at sunset and goes till sunset. Is it one law you should say? So from the Gemara it would appear that it's not so. The Gemara would appear that it's a separate Kedushas Hayom, the Tchilas Hayom, the Laila, and then a separate Kedushas Hayom Bayom, and you need a Pasuk to say both. So Tosfos Yishonim on the side of the Gemara, in the last parak points out that there probably is such a Pasuk by every Shabbos and Yom Tov also. The Gemara never quotes a Braisa, but Tosfos is guessing. They say there's probably such a Drasha, a Yalfusa from a Pasuk to indicate that on a regular Shabbos there's an Isa Malacha Bayom and an Isa Malacha Balayla, and this chorus for one of those Malacha Bayom, the chorus for one of those Malacha Balayla. And then there is such a Gemara in Shabbos, we learned it. When we learned the end of Shabbos in Perek Kol Kisei, I think, the Gemara says, what if a person has a delicious Meichel? The Balabasta has one Meichel that all the members of the family enjoy very much. So should she give that Meichel for dinner, Leil Shabbos, or should she give it for Shabbos in the daytime? So the Gemara says that Kvod Yom Modif Mekvod Laila. We would have said, what's the difference? Shabbos and Shabbos, Anaf Kamina, which one? So the Gemara, the Babli says, no, that Kvod Yom Modif Mekvod Laila. It's preferable to give the Michael that the family enjoys more by Tog, but in the daytime. You only have wine for one, you make in the daytime. I don't know about that.
At night you can make,
you can make Kiddush over Chala at night.
At nighttime you can.
Could be. That's a chesed. Yeah, could be. There's Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar on this topic that the Babli says Kvod Yom Modif Mekvod Laila, that if you have a Michael that the family enjoys very much, it's preferable to serve it in the day meal as opposed to Friday night meal. So the Magen Avraham quotes that the Zohar says Fakir, that Kvod Laila Odif Mekvod Yom. But the Rav pointed out, you see from both the Zohar and the Gemara, Atar Shav Shabahem, that they're separate dinim, that Yom and Laila are separate. We would have normally said that Kibbutz the Yonig is for 24 hours, and Malacha is one stretch, and Inuyim is one stretch, everything is the same. So you see from the Babli in the Gemara and Shabbos also, like the Tosfos points out over here, that by Yom HaBalayla on Shabbos also, the Gemara over here is only saying on Yom HaKippur, but Tosfos says on this Gemara in the last parak that it's probably the same on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. Rabbi Yosef Engel has in one of his Mamorim, and one of his Svarim, he quotes a Yerushalmi in Perek Rav Lezer de Mila, where the Yerushalmi has a Shaila, has a Safi, according to the Tana Rav Lezer. When we learned Shabbos, we learned Perek Rav Lezer de Mila.
Yeah.
The Rav Lezer disagrees with all the Tanoim regarding when you have a Bris Mila on Shabbos. The baby is born on Shabbos, so the Mila Bismana is Becha Shabbos. So you do the Bris the next week on Shabbos. So the Chachamim say Rabbi Akiva represents the Talmud of Rav Lezer. He represents the sheet of all the other Tanoim. He says you're only permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to do a Bris Mila as a Chil Shabbos. Just to do the act of Bris Mila, the cutting, is some kind of a malacha or another. It's a question what the malacha is. Different Rishonim give different ideas why, but the Gemara is clear that it's a malacha and it's only permissible to do the Mila if it's Bismana. Mila Bismana is Decha Shabbos. Mila Shlo Bismana blipped on malacha and it's not Decha Shabbos. So the Chachamim, the Rav Lezer say, the only thing you're allowed to do on Shabbos is the actual Bris Mila itself. But if you need a knife to carry the knife, or to manufacture a knife, or to carry the baby, preparation, that's called Nachshiri Mila. So the Hechsher Mitzvah is not Decha Shabbos, only the actual Mila. And Rav Lezer disagrees, that's the name of the Perek, Rav Lezer Reimer. That's Perek Rav Lezer de Mila. Rav Lezer Reimer, Mila, or Machshireo Decha Nesar Shabbos. Even the Machshire Mila, Sheev Shalas is Mabog Yom. He could have taken care of plenty of time, could have taken care of everything on Erev Shabbos. Nonetheless, Rav Lezer's opinion is the Machshire Mila Decha Shabbos. So the Gemara makes it clear that Rav Lezer's disagreement with all the other Tanoim, with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's name is mentioned, but Rabbi Akiva represents all the Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Lezer, but he represents the majority opinion. So his dispute with the other Tanoim is not restricted only to Bris Mila. It applies to all the mitzvahs al Torah. Let's say if you have a mitzvah which is Decha Shabbos, if you have a mitzvah which is not it itself is not Decha Shabbos, to say Krishna on Shabbos morning. So if I need a siddur, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to carry a siddur, because Kriya Shema itself is not Decha Shabbos. So why should you say Machshire Kriya Shema Decha Shabbos? But whenever there's a mitzvah that itself constitutes a malacha, and the mitzvah itself is Decha Shabbos, and not only Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the mitzvah? You can be Mechal Shabbos for the Machshirei mitzvah as well.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, yeah, you would be allowed to build the sukkah, yeah. Let's say, yeah.
Lulav, you're allowed to take off.
That's a shaila. I lulav itself is not Berachas Shabbos. How come he allows you to be Mechal Shabbos? I don't know. The Gemara says he allows you to pull off the lulav and the esrog from the tree. Right. When the Gemara's mashma, if you hold on to a lulav and esrog while it's still attached to the tree, you're not yotze the mitzvah.
No,
you have to shake the lulav and an esrog after it's detached. So the Gemara says the Rav Lezer allows you to detach the lulav and the esrog even on Yontem Shchalis b'Shabbos, even when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos on the level of their eyes. So we pass him the Rabbanon, you don't bench esrog at all because somebody may forget and carry the lulav and the esrog unnecessarily. But on the level of their eyes, so you are supposed to shake a lulav and an esrog when Yonta falls in on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to prepare it. So Rav Lezer says you're even permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to pull off the lulav and the esrog from the tree.
That was the Gemara.
Mechal Shabbos if Yonta falls out on Shabbos, yeah. Even though lulav per se is not Bechal Shabbos, not Bechal Yonta, yeah. So maybe he would say, why not carry a siddur to say Kriyashma? I don't know. So the Yerushalmi gives another, the Babli has this, and the Yerushalmi expands on it. Let's say the korbanos that you bring on Shabbos, yeah, the tmidim u'masochim, that are deicha Shabbos. So that is also malacha. That's also shchita, and you do a bishul and a hepshit, yeah, and havara. You make a fire, you burn the chalovim, you burn the emurim on the mizbeach. All kinds of malachas involved in bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdosh. So Rav Lezer says, not only are you permitted to be mechal Shabbos with the actual hakrovas hakorban that is necessary. Even if you're even if you need a knife, you're allowed to manufacture a knife. You're allowed to break off branches from a tree in order to make a fire, in order to melt a metal, in order to manufacture a knife. That's what he says you're allowed to do for a bris milah, to manufacture a knife on Shabbos, to break off branches. So the same thing, he would permit you to be mechal Shabbos on the machshirei avos hakorbanos.
Even though
he could have done it on Ershem. That's Rav Lezer's opinion. And we don't pass him like Rav Lezer. We might as well be passing like Rav Akiva that you're not allowed to. Yeah. So Yerushalmi has a suffix within Rav Lezer. What about the Tminim and Musafim have to be brought by Yom? You can't be Yotze Tminim and Musafim Leil Shabbos. You can't bring any Karbonis Balayla. All year long, you can't be Makru any Karbonis Balayla. Karbonis has to be only by Yom. So Yerushalmi clears a suffix. What would Rav Lezer say regarding machshirei korbanos b'leil Shabbos? Would he permit you?
The same thing by Mila can also clear.
Same Shabbat by Mila? Are you allowed to manufacture the knife on leil Shabbos on Friday night for the bris milah? So what exactly is the suffix? What's the suffix? Because it's a dying. It's not yet this man. Because it's not yet this man on Mila.
You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you want something to happen. You won't be able to do the mitzvah.
Yerushalmi never explains what the nekudas hasafek is. What's the issue involved? So you could say
sumach.
Could say sumach. You don't know what's going to be. You could say it's not yet this man. So the Yosef Engel suggests, based on this Tosis Yishana, maybe it's a different kedusha. Just like manufacturing the knife, the baby's born this Shabbos. And then the bris is going to be next Shabbos. He wants to manufacture the knife this Shabbos to be prepared for next Shabbos. It's a different Shabbos. So he says maybe Friday night and Shabbos daytime, it's a different Kedusha Sayyid. It's a different Shabbos. So maybe the Heter to be Mechal Shabbos, maybe that's the suffix of the Yerushalmi. He's not sure. Maybe since it's a separate Kedusha Bayom and a separate Kedusha Balad, because you need separate Psukim, so maybe the din is that you're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on that Kedusha Sayyid. This is a problem, though. This idea that the Gemara has in the last Perek in Yuma that you need a pasuk for Malacha Bayom and Malacha Balayla, and Kores Bayom and Kores Balayla, and Achila Bayom and Achila Balayla. It is a problem because when we learn Shabbos, we have, and especially in Gemara Erevin, there are dinim that are dependent on the Ben Hashmashes of Tzilos Hayom. Muktze, whatever was Muktze, Migudis Katsar the Ben Hashmashes, or the reverse also, whatever was not Muktze at the beginning of the day. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but sometimes we say it does not become muktzah in the middle of the day because the dinim are muktzah nikva by the tchilos hayom. So muktzah is only a din de rabbanon. You have another din de rabbanon in the Gemara that if you have a rishus hayochid with an isa tiltol, let's say we have an erev in the community, let's say, so the whole thing is one big rishus hayochid. You have tzuris hapesach all around and around. That makes the whole area that's enclosed into Rishus HaYochid. But in the Rabbanon, that's not enough. He's still not allowed to carry from Beis Shal Reuven to Beis Shal Shimon. The Gemara says that's a Takana Shlomo HaMelech, that you're not allowed to carry If you have two families who have homes that are adjacent to each other, you're not allowed to carry from one into the other unless they make an Erev Chatzer. Either Reuben's family leaves a matzah by Shimon, or Shimon leaves a matzah by Reuben. So if you have, let's say, a whole neighborhood and everybody lives together, you have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of families, so you have to rent from all of the Nochrim, rent from the Mechal Shabbos, so you rent from the Moshel Hoir, you rent from the mayor or the chief of police is representing all of the Nochrim or all the Mechal Shabbos, because they can't share in the Erev Chatzer, they have no Shaykhs. They carry on Shabbos, so the whole issue of the Erev Chatzeres is foreign to them, has no shaykhis to them, ain't of the Torahs, and all of the Shomer Shabbos have to participate in a box of matzahs together. They have to have an Erev Chatzeres together. So the Gemara says that all of the dinim, this is a new concept that was invented by Shlomo HaMelech, that you have Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tilpul. On the level of the Raisa, such an animal doesn't exist. Rishus HaRabim has an Issa Tilpul. Rishus HaYochid by definition means that there's no Issa Tilpul. How do you have such a thing, Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tilpul? So that's Takanah Shlomo HaMelech. He invented a new thing, Rishus HaYochid with an Issa Tilpul. So the Gemara says that all of these dinim are nikva by the Tchilas HaYoyim of Shabbos. Shabbos Hol v'Hutra v'Hutra, and Shabbos Hol v'Nesra v'Nesra. If the Tchilas HaYoyim there was no Erev, so it doesn't help you're going to make an Erev in the middle of Shabbos. It won't be Mutah Mikana L'Habo. Tchilas HaYoyim Aser, so it remains Aser. And if B'tchilas HaYom there was an Erev, even though the Bax HaMatzis was eaten up, or even though the Pesach between the two apartments was Nistam, and they no longer have access to each other, or other things came up, the din is that Hol v'Hutra v'Hutra, and Shabbos Hol v'Nesra v'Nesra. Everything is Nikva by the Tchilas HaYom, by the Tchilas Bein HaShemashah. So the Pashto says that these Gemaras are all by Dinim Derabbanan. Do you have any Dinim Deraisa as well? Do you have any Mokka that Dinim Deraisa also depend on the first moment of Tchilas HaShabbos? Chumen depends on the Tchilas HaShabbos. There are Tanoim we happen to Paskin. There are more Paskins that all of Chumen is only the Rabbanon, but yeah. There are opinions that Chumen is the Raisa, and the Pashto says that it is Mikva, even within the Raisa. So the Rabbi used to point out that there's the last Rosh in Moed Katan talks about Hilchas Avelis. He talks about a Katan Shehigdil, Vitoch Shloishim. A person dies, and the relatives have to observe Shiva. So there is a machlokes among the goyim, and we pass on that the relatives who are not yet bar mitzvah, let's say a person dies and he leaves young brothers or young children who are before bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. So we pass on that there's no chinach on avelus. There's chinach on fasting on Yom Kippur is a mishnah, and there's chinach on observing Shabbos, and chinach on shaking a lulim, and chinach on a talis, and chinach on tefillin, chinach on matzah, chinach on korban pesach. The Gemara in Sukkah, the end of Lulav HaGozel, lists off a long brayso, the last brayso in Lulav HaGozel, lists off each mitzvah where there's chinuch, but in Avelus, there's a machlekes, we paskin, there's no chinuch on Avelus. Whatever their explanation is, that's how we paskin. There's no chinuch on Avelus. So the shad is, what if you have a cotton shehigdil, the child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shloshim. Middle of Shloshim because it's a din if someone finds out about the death of a relative in the middle of 30, the middle of Shloshim, so that's called the Shmuk Grover. If the person finds that after 30 days, after Shloshim goes away, then it's a Shmura Chayka, Vein in the Hegas El Yonechot. That's why sometimes older people lose their relatives, so they don't tell them to wait till after Shloshim, so they can be Yotzi Avelis and Shoachas. If it's a Shmura Chayka, you only have to observe Avelis Shoachas. But if it's a Shmura Kreva, someone heard about the death of a relative within 30 days of the dying, or of the Kvurid. That's also Shaila, how do you define Shmura Kreva, Shmura Chayka? So then if it's a Shmur Kreiva, then you have to observe Avela, it's the regular Shiva and Shloshim, the whole works, everything. So what if you have a cotton Shehigdil, the cotton, when the parent died, let's say a parent died, or a sibling died, someone died, and this person was not bar mitzvah, and then they find, and then they become bar mitzvah in the middle of Shloshim. So should you say now, it's considered like a Shmur Kreiva, he just heard, as a bar chiyuva, as a godel, as a bar mitzvah bar, he just heard now that the relative died, now he has to start observing a Shiva and Shloshim, from this point on, it has to observe the whole
no chiv, and it happened. So that's right.
So that's a machlokes in the Rishon. Yeah. That's a machlokes. So in the middle of that discussion, the Rosh quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, who quotes a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara says in Yevamos, what if you have a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos? How is that Gemara? The person becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. Shabbos begins at the Shkia on Friday evening. a person becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. How can it be? So one opinion of the Rishonim is that you become bar mitzvah, let's say 13 years ago when the child was born, so he was born 3 o'clock in the morning. So there's one opinion that becomes bar mitzvah 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's a big, that's 50% of the Rishonim hold like that. That's a major machlokes in the Rishonim. So Avraham used to think that that was a joke. He thought that that doesn't make any sense at all. That when the Gemara says in Erchin that you become bar mitzvah, may ace le ace, it doesn't mean may half of the Rishonim. He thought that it doesn't mean to the minute. It means lapuke Rosh Hashanah. You don't become bar mitzvah the Rosh Hashanah at the end of the 13th year. In other words, he's 12 and a half years old. And this is the Rosh Hashanah of the 13th year. So you shouldn't think that all the children are going to become bar mitzvah in the coming year. Or become bar mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, no, it has to be miyom liyom. So the Gemara uses an expression, meyais liyais, but it doesn't mean to the minute. It doesn't mean 3 o'clock in the morning. It means miyom liyom.
What's the Havminet that
you
would become the
Rambam? Melech, you have Melech, you go by a new Melech, you go according to the Rosh Hashanah.
By Melech, you go by the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, within the time.
Does mean. Yeah. Sometimes usually the term meis leis means literally meis leis. The original din yomo yomayim. Let's say somebody kills an evet knaini. So he's chayv misa. What if he kills his own evet knaini? So the chumash says if the evet knaini survives yomo yomayim a day or two, lo yukam. He doesn't get punished. Which is it? Is it one day? Is it 2 days? So Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara that it means meis leis. If he survives 24 hours. So there is sometimes. Whenever it says meis leis, it means literally meis leis, to the minute. But here the Gemara in Erechin says meis leis, and here it's a big machlekes in Rishon. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was he didn't think that was the ikar. He thought the ikar is that the boy becomes bar mitzvah at the beginning of the day. It doesn't become meis leis. But still the Gemara says that it is gemolt, it is possible that a person becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos at 3 o'clock in the morning. How is that possible? So the answer is, hey, Hedishtei Cyrus. A person becomes bar mitzvah is not enough. His birthday. You have to have shonim, disimonim. You have to have, he should be 13, or a girl should be 12 years old. And you have to have shtei sairis growing on the body, b'makom ho'erva, to indicate that they're mature, that they're physically there. So if that happened, that's the case that the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara doesn't talk about a case that he was born 3 o'clock in the morning. That may be true also, according to half of the Rishonim, that it becomes by mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the morning. But the Gemara says, kegon she'evi shtei sairis b'am tzayom. So the Gemara says, Achidush, that even though Hevi Shtei Saris in the middle of the day, and the beginning of the Shabbos, he wasn't a Bar Chayuvin, nonetheless, from the middle of the day, from 3 o'clock in the morning on, he has to observe Shabbos, and the Gemara considers this a Chidush. So the Maharam Rutmerk says, what is the Chidush? Because the Tchilas Ayom of Shabbos, the Bein Hashmashes of Shabbos, is what's Mechayv you on the level of their Isa. It's not only relevant to Muktzah, Digizach, and Terevei Chatzeres, and Tchumen, Kernes and Shvisa for the purpose of Tchum Shabbos. These are all Dinim Derabbanan. No, the Gemara is talking on the level of the Raisa. The Oster B'Maloche is the first moment of Shabbos, and that asks for the duration of the whole Shabbos. The Tchilos Hayoyim of Shabbos asks. So that's why one might have argued the point and said, if the Tchilos Hayoyim, in the first moment of Shabbos, the person wasn't Bar Mitzvah, he wasn't a Bar Chiyuvah, even if it becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, one could argue the point and say that he should not be mechuyev to observe the end of the Shabbos. Next Shabbos he'll be mechuyev.
Yeah.
But the first Shabbos on which it becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the day, one could argue and say that there was no tchilas hayom mechayev him. So nonetheless, the Gemara says yes, that tchilas hayom can be mechayev for later. Tchilas hayom that he experiences a katan is mechayev him la'achar sheyagdil. So you see from that Gemara that it's even true on the level of their Isa. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. He thought that this is on a level of their Isa, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came their Isa Tikkun. The reason why the Chachamim said that Muktzah depends on Tchilas Hayom, the reason why Shlomo HaMelech said that carrying in the Chatzos Sheinim Orev depends on the Tchilas Hayom, and the reason why Tchumen depends on Tchilas Hayom is because all the Malachas are also Nikva by the Tchilas Hayom. The Ben Hashmashus of Tchilas Hayom is the Yoseh B'Malachas. So this is a problem. If this Gemara and the Rishonim say that Yom and Laila are separate, that there's a separate Kedusha Shabbos by Yom and a separate Kedusha Shabbos by Laila, so there should be two Zmanim that Asa. The Tchilas HaLaila should Asa for the Laila, and the Tchilas HaYom should Asa for the Yom. You don't assume like that. We assume the Tchilas HaYom Asa for the whole 24-hour period. So how does it jive? How does it stem with this Gemara that we say that it's two different kedushas, two different zmanim, this kores bayom and kores balayla, and this is malacha bayom and this is malacha balayla, it's a problem. How it stems.
What about the visual? Is that machal ben yerushalayim made as mashal?
You mean benegeh to shehiya? You're allowed to leave food on the fire if it's a machal ben yerushalayim. That's also a din derabbanan. That's also a din derabbanan. Yeah. You're permitted to leave food on the fire. But Torah, you can leave raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and there's no problem. The derabbanan, you're not allowed to leave raw food on the fire. But if it's already kamachal ben derushalayim, then there's no gzeira. Yeah, that's also a din. That's goes with the reason why. Since it's already cooked, so you're not afraid that he's gonna mish around, he's gonna do a malacha. Anyway, that's what the Gemara establishes, that the Isra Malacha and the Isra Achilu Shtiyah and Yom Kippur is Bayom and Balayla, it's attack of the same din. It's an Isra Kareis with all the Yonshim are the same, but you need separate Psukim Bayom and separate Psukim Balayla. The Gemara in Sukkah has, this Gemara in Yuma doesn't have here, the Gemara in Sukkah has a drasha from a Pasuk that not only is it Asur to eat on Yom Kippur proper, but there is even a din of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And although Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, this is on the Gemara Chof Chesem Abeis in Sukkah, but Nitzach El Tosefes Inui, you have to begin. Yeah, the Gemara Beitza Daf Lama Nomad Aleph says, right?
You start earlier.
You have to start earlier. The Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk. But us, how does it say? Tisha lachodesh bo'erev. V'nishem eshnat shesechem. V'tisha lachodesh bo'erev. You have to start fasting on the 9th of Tishrei in the afternoon. What do you mean? The 9th? Pashup shat, the 9th of Tishrei balayla. V'tisha lachodesh bo'erev. The 9th of Tishrei bo'erev balayla is the 10th of Tishrei. So what kind of a lashon is that? V'tisha lachodesh bo'erev.
Not Tisha
L'Chodesh, it's a theory L'Chodesh, so the Gemara Darshan, what it means is you have to start fasting Mibol Yom. Mikan Shem Asif Mechoel L'Chodesh. And then the Brisa continues, and the Ela Bikni Sasa, that Pasuk only indicates you have to be Moshe Mechoel L'Chodesh in the beginning of Yom Kippur. How do you know even at the end of Yom Kippur you have to have Kosefes L'Achorel? So the Brisa learns another drasha from Pasuk. V'ein Li'a, then the Brisa continues, V'ein Li'a Lo, and maybe that's only on Yom HaKippurim. How do you know that on every regular Shabbos and Yom Tov also there is a din of Tosefes? The whole sugi of Tosefes is really in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is talking about Tosefes Shmita, that you're supposed to be Moseh Mechayil Al HaKadosh, the Shnas HaShmita, this year Shnas HaShmita, starts Rosh Hashanah. It's also, there's a Kedusha Shabbos, a Kedusha Zman the whole year. So the Gemara quotes Tanaim, who say you have to be Moseh Mechayil Al HaKadosh before the Shemitah year begins. So the Gemara has different Tanoim, learning this idea out from different Psukim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel learns out in the middle of Tesam and Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Shmuel learns out Masif Mechayla HaKodesh. It's a Yom also, but the main Suk is here in Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Shmuel learns it out from this Pasuk. Benisim Esnav Shesechem Metisha LaKodesh Ba'erev. They will learn out Tosefes Lofanel and Tosefes Liachareho, as well, and not only regarding Yom Kippur, regarding every Shabbos and every Yom Tov and even Shnas HaShmita, any period of time,
Kedusha,
any Kedusha Zman, you have to be Moisif Mechoel Al HaKodesh.
If you have on calendrical issues, that we start off, but yet on the most important calendrical issues, where we start counting from the Rosh Chodesh, we only start from the morning, so there seems to be a conflict on it.
No, Rosh Chodesh doesn't begin from the morning. The Bezin cannot convene Balayla. There's no Kviyas Bezin. Can't have any Bezin Balayla except for HaTorah Nedarim. Torah Nedarim, the Gemara says, it's a difference, a weaker than Bezin. But that he can convene Balayla. That every other Bezin cannot be convened Balayla. So that's what the Gemara says. The Bezin who has to declare Mekudesh HaChodesh, that today is Rosh Chodesh,
from the time
that
decided.
They can only from declare it by Yom. But let's say they come in 10 o'clock in the morning, they declare today is Rosh Chodesh. It becomes retroactively Rosh Chodesh as of last night. Because the whole day is one unit. How can they make expos back?
Rosh Chodesh starts the night before.
So Rosh Chodesh does start the night before. But because the Besn couldn't declare it until the morning, that's why the Gemara has a cooler that if you forgot Yalav Yav, you're up to bench over. Daf and Takat Hashtay. Why should there be a cooler? But we know tomorrow morning the Besn will declare the whole day is one unit. They'll declare the whole day is Rosh Chodesh. It'll become Rosh Chodesh Milam Afreya. So why shouldn't you have to daven over daven pashtei in the Gemara? The Rav once gave a whole yotzei drasha, a beautiful explanation. what pshat in the Gemara is. Why does the din say that if he left that Yalav Yavai after daven over buses? So you thought that reciting Yalav Yavai is today bimkoim the kviyas bezden. Years ago there used to be a bezden. Until the days of Abai Barabbat, they used to have a bezden. Abai Barabbat lived in Babel, and bezden used to be in Eretz Yisrael. But until the days of Abai Barabbat, there used to be a bezden in Eretz Yisrael that would convene on Rosh Chodesh and declare the day as Rosh Chodesh, and that's what created the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. After they changed the system, and they no longer make Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Hariyah, we rely on witnesses who are going to come and going to testify, and bezden is going to declare. So what do we have? We have Kiddush HaChodesh al pi HaChesbon. So how does that work, Kiddush HaChodesh al pi HaChesbon? So that's a machlokes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs between the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Ramban says that's the same thing as it always was, nothing changed. It's just that Hillel HaSheni, who was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael during the lifetime of Abai Barabbi, he saw that there's going to be tzaris alangi golis until Mashiach is going to come, and we will not be able to make Kiddush HaChodesh every month. We're going to have redifus from the Goyim. So he wrote a calendar. And he declared, I hereby declare all the Rosh Chodashim according to this Luach. So he made it Rosh Chodesh. Normally you're supposed to wait till the day and declare today is Rosh Chodesh. If you have a big Shas, Hatcha Godli, you can declare a month in advance. So that's what he did. He declared 1500 years in advance that this was Rosh Hashanah, and next week is Sukkot, and next month is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and so on. He declared all the Rosh Chodashim. He declared all the Shanim Uboris, which is Shadiya Shana Pshuta, which you should be a Shana Moberes, when you should have 12 months, when you should have 13 months. Normally you're supposed to wait till the year itself to declare to be Sot. And he saw it's a big Shas HaTchak, so he declared it again. So the Ramban says that basically nothing changed. Nothing changed. Basically the Kiddush HaChodesh that we have today is the same as it always was, except that we're not doing it La Mahadrin, we're not doing it with witnesses, and we don't have the Bezen Bizman. It was all taken care of 1500 years ago when Hillel HaSheni was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. It was Mekadosh all the Chadashim in advance. And this, he says, is in disagreement with the Rambam. The Rambam says, no, that there are two different kinds of Kiddush HaChodesh. One is Al-Pi Ariyah, and one is Al-Pi HaChesbon. And he said that this is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that whenever you don't have a Bezen available, Rosh Chodesh becomes determined, becomes Nikva by Al-Pi HaChesbon. The Rambam says, where did he dig up halacha l'Moshe Misinai? Says he never heard of this. So the Rambam says this was kept as a secret. They didn't want the goyim to know. It was kept as a secret. Ramban says it was kept such a good secret they never told me. I never heard about it. But that's what the Rabbeinu Hananu says, the Sod HaIbur. Rabbeinu Hananu, the Gemara Rashana says, the Gemara talks about a Sod HaIbur, a secret about Ibur Hashanah. So Rabbeinu Hananu says that's what it means. The secret is that whenever there's no Bezdin, there's Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaChesbon. What does that mean? So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs gives you a little bit of an explanation what it is. He says, instead of having a Bezdin declare Mekudush HaChodesh, the Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, through their Nihug, they're farmers. What we call in Eretz Yisrael, days of the Rambam, they were farmers. The Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, through their observing the day as Rosh Chodesh, create the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. How do they observe the day as Rosh Chodesh? What in the world do? They give sodas in school. In some schools they give sodas for lunch, and broyers. Instead of milk, they give soda on Rosh Chodesh. Now they stop because soda is not healthy, so it's what kind of a way of observing Rosh Chodesh is that? So they stop. But how do you observe Rosh Chodesh? So the Rav explained by saying Yalav Yava in the davening. So saying Yalav Yava by Yom is the Maisa that's Kaveh Rosh Chodesh. Saying Yalav Yava by Laila, the Bezna was never Mekadosh as HaChodesh by Laila. So our reciting Yalav Yava is also not going to make it into Rosh Chodesh. And the reason why we daven over, if you forgot Yalav Yava, is not because you're not Yetzir Lishmanesir. Lishmanesir, you were Yetzir. You didn't do the Kriyas. You didn't do something to establish the day as Rosh Chodesh. So that's Likuva. We have, even though we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, the real Likuva should really be the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So they're reciting Yalav Yava is what makes the day into Rosh Chodesh. And our reciting also have a secondary significance. That's why we daven over. So the Rav interpreted that that's the Pshat. He thought that that was the Pshat in the Gemara. That if one forgets to say Yalav Yava Balayla, he doesn't daven over. Why? Because Eim Kachan is a Chodesh Balayla. What does it mean? Not only Emikachin Chodesh Balayla is not only because he cannot convene a Bezen Balayla. If that's the reason why,
you don't have a Bezen.
So Klal Yisrael is making Rosh Chodesh by saying Yalav Yavai, you don't need a Bezen. No, the Gemara learns it out from a separate pasuk. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah learns it out. Even though based on the rules and regulations of Bezen, you should be able to do it Balayla. Let's say Hischila Bayom, Gomim Balayla. If you started the Kviyas Bezen Bayom, you have a Din Torah. So the Din Torah takes sometimes forever and ever. So the din is as long as the kviyas bezin began by yom, so you can continue by laila also. Done by yom, gomer by laila. It's a mishnah in Sanhedrin. As long as the kviyas yeshiva, tchilas yeshivas bezin was by yom, you can continue with it the entire into the nighttime as well. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, even though the bezin convened by yom, but they didn't declare mekudesh achodesh by yom, so they're not allowed to declare it by laila. So based on a pasuk. So the question is, why not? But indeed, in Mamanis, the din is like that. Done by Yom Gomer Balayla. So the answer is, no, this is a separate din. Not only because he cannot convene a Bezin Balayla, it's a separate independent halacha. Kviyas Rosh Chodesh cannot be made Balayla. So even Bizman Azeh, that the Kviyas Rosh Chodesh is not through the declaration of the Bezin. It's through the Nihug of the Klali, so the Nihug being the reciting of the Yalav Yoba also. The reciting Balayla, that's just because it's Mein Amayra. It's not because that's the Kviyas that's going to make it into Rosh Chodesh. So that's not Ma'akev. If you said Shemana Esrei Balayla and you forgot to say Yal V'Yavah, you're Yotze V'Yavah. But Bayom, if you said Shemana Esrei, you forgot Yal V'Yavah, Bayom, so we tell you to daven over, you were Yotze davening. You were Yotze Shachris and Mincha. But you didn't do the Kviyas that's necessary. So we want as many people say, well, you have a minion. You have a minion of people said Yal V'Yavah, so what's it? If I wouldn't daven, it wouldn't become Rosh Chodesh. You have the rest of the Jews daven. No, you want as many people as possible to participate, to join in the Kriyas. Gans Klal Yisrael should do it. So if one person davened and he forgot to say Yal V'Yavah, we would recommend he should daven over again. He was Yotze the first time. We recommend that Tfilas Nedove, volunteer another Shemana Esrei, in order to chapara in a Kriyas, you too should join in creating the Kriyas of Rosh Chodesh.
How much secondary Rosh Chodesh?
The Gemara has a machlok, isn't it? Paskin, both the first day and the second day, same thing.
Okay.
What if you forget Yalav V'Yavah and the Shemana Esrei? You probably are Yotze on any Yontif. Let's say I said, Yom Chagamatzis has, so whatever, then you left that Yalav V'Yavah and then you said the Hasiyenu. Stomach, you are Yotze. What about a regular Yontif?
Time too, you would be Yotze.
Probably you are Yotze. I mean, how many times do you have to say that it's a Yontif, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot? No, on Rosh Chodesh, that's all you say is Yalav V'Yavah. But on a Yontif, you say, you mention that it's Yontif every other paragraph. I think it probably says in Shulchan Aruch that you are Yotze. If you left out the whole Yalav V'Yavah, any Yontif, you probably Yotze. Because you mentioned the Atta Bechana Vatitan Lono, and then you say in the Hasiyenu also, you say that it's Yontif.
I remember Brochus, we learned. When you say on Shabbos for Shatat Chak and you daven Maariv early already 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the next day there is Chodesh and the Gemara says you can't say Yalav V'Yavah even 2 o'clock because whatever the reason is that could be very well that the Kula could be from this reason.
That what?
That you can say Yalav V'Yavah 2 o'clock in the afternoon because it's not tomorrow. This is characteristic of Yalav V'Yavah anyhow.
Okay. Could be. So the Gemara quotes the whole Brisa in its entirety in Yumin and Rosh Hashanah. The Brisa speaks about Tosefes Yom HaKippurim Lefaneha Liachreha, and then the Gemara says the Sukkah that women are also Mechuyev despite the fact that it really ought to be a Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma. So we really ought to say that women are not Mechuyev in Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. They should be Pater. We have an extra Pasuk called HaEzrach Israel to be marred by women that even women are mechuyev. Kamash malon. Lon is chayv anoshim. Kamash malon that women are mechuyev. So the Gemara learns that there's such a thing as Tosefes. The Rambam only quotes this brisa regarding Tosefes with respect to Yom Kippur. He never quotes it by Shabbos, never quotes it by Yontif. By Shemitah he talks about Tosefes, but it's not based on this pasuk. If it were based on this pasuk, you should have quoted it by Shabbos and Yontif also. It extends not only Yom Kippur, even Shabbos, even Yontif, even Shemitah. No, Shemitah is like Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Shemitah is separate, and Yom Kippur is separate, and Shabbos Yontif, he never says a word about the separate. So that's why the Nesek Kalim assume that the Rambam episode Paskin is not exactly like the Brisa. The Rambam holds that there's only a din of Tosefes on Yom Kippur, mitzvah l'hos mechol al hakodesh before and after Yom Kippur, and the regular Shabbos Yontif not. Where did he get a mocker to make such a compromise? So the Mefarshim say that only going quotes it in Shulchan Aruch because the Mishnayos have a Masechah Shabbos. Sometimes you have the expression "Besil Matirim Im Hashemish." The shamai say, let's say I have a shop and I sell merchandise and I want to stay open late on Friday afternoon and I have goyish customers, they're going to shop by me and I know they're going to carry it, they're going to drive all the way back to, they live in New Jersey, they live in Pennsylvania, they're going to drive back to Pennsylvania. So the shamai say you're not allowed to sell merchandise to a nachri
unless
there's enough time that he should be home. He's going to be home when Shabbos comes in. He'll already be home.
Even though they're going.
And b'silah matirim im hashemesh. B'silah say you're allowed to do it with shkia. And a few times the Mishnah has the expression b'silah matirim im hashemesh. The end of the first parak in Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon says how can it be im hashemesh if you have a din of tosef Shabbos? So it's not im hashemesh right before the shkia. You have to be Masim Mechorad Allah Kodesh. I said, that's probably the mocker of the Rambam that he held that Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no din of Tosefos. Not Lefanah, not Lefra, only on Yom Kippur. Only a din on Yom Kippur. That's what. That's a Shaila, how long does the Tosefos have to be? So that's the Gemara in Beitz on the Aflam and Aleph says that Bismana Gemara, there were women. Who used to eat during the Zman of Tosefos Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur proper Chalila, they wouldn't eat. But in the Zman of that everybody's supposed to be Moshe Mechal Ola Kodesh, the women would be Mezalza. And the Rabbonim didn't want to tell them anything because they felt that the women are not going to listen anyway. So the Gemara has that din mutav shiyu shaykikim lo yiyu mezidin. If we know that they're not going to listen anyway, if you think, if the rabbi will hold the drosha and there are a few hundred people and one person will listen, so the rabbi's mukhrif to give Musa. Someone should listen, as long as some person, or if there's a chance, or you speak to one person, there's a chance maybe he will listen, maybe he won't listen. So yeah, that's a din of but if you're talking to a group of people or one person and you know there's no chance at all, it's highly improbable, not really a chance that he's going to listen. And right now he's doing the Aver B'Shoigeg, and if you're going to let him know, he's going to continue to do the Aver B'Mezid, so you make it worse for him. Until now he's only doing the Aver B'Shoigeg, not so bad. Now you're going to give him over the head. You're going to give him tochach. He's going to continue to do the aver b'mezid. So it's better not to. So the Gemara says, "Geshem shemitzvah lo nadava nishma, kach mitzvah shalom lo nadava sheino nishma." That's the lashon of the Gemara. And Yibam is the Gemara says, "Geshem shemitzvah lo nadava nishma." Just like it's a mitzvah to give tochach, kach mitzvah lo shalom lo nadava sheino nishma. It's a mitzvah not to tell. How does the Gemara say geshem? What kind of a lashon is that? Just like it's a mitzvah to put on talis and tefillin. So too it's a mitzvah to shake a lulav. Why is it kishem if they're unrelated things? So the Rebbe explained, no, it is kishem. Just like it's a mitzvah lo nadava hanishma, if you think the person will listen to you, the right now he's doing an aveira. So you'll change a rosh into a tzaddik. If there's a chance he's going to listen, that's a mitzvah tochacha. Kach, so too, the exact same mitzvah, shalom lo nadava sheina nishma. Right now the person is doing the aveira b'shoigig. So basically he's a tzaddik. He's only doing the aveira b'shoigig. You're going to give him tochach and you know he's not going to listen. You're going to make the Russia, you're going to make a tzaddik into a Russia. So it's a mitzvah shalot. Kishem shemitzvah loim adava hanishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to take a Russian to convert him into a tzaddik, kach mitzvah shalot loim adava shein hanishma. It's a mitzvah not to give Musa if he's not to take a tzaddik and make him into a Russia. It's the opposite. So you shouldn't do it. It's based on the exact same mitzvah of tochacha to convert the Rishayim into tzaddikim and not to convert tzaddikim into Rishayim. So that's what the Gemara says, that you shouldn't give tochacha. So the Gemara gives the example that the women are also mechuyev in Tosefos Yom Kippurim. That was the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chav Ches. I would have thought that it's a mitzvah says the Shazman Grama, Kamash Malan, that notwithstanding the pasuk says the women are mechuyev to observe Tosefos, and the women used to violate Tosefos Yom Kippurim. So they didn't give them any musa. So Tosefos asks on that Gemara, what do you mean they didn't observe Tosefos? You mean they ate during Bein Hashmashes? He says, no. Bein Hashmashes is Mamish Safik Yom Safik Laila. After the sun sets, that's already the Safik Yom Safik Laila. That they knew you're not supposed to eat. So what, they finished eating at exact split second?
Yeah.
How do they know? How can it be? So Tosis says, obviously, see from the Gemara that the sun fixed the period of time.
Right.
The sun amount of time that has to be designated as Tosefos. So they probably stopped eating 5 minutes before the Shkia. Or whatever, 5-10 minutes. Yeah. The Shul Bulletin probably tells you 5-10 minutes before, and apparently that's not enough. It's supposed to be longer.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be longer. So Tosfos just says we don't know how long it is, but you see from the Gemara that it's a fixed amount of time. If it's not a fixed amount of time, if you say Tosefos is Mashu, so the women certainly didn't eat into Ben Hashmashes. So they certainly observed a Mashu before the Shkia, before the Ben Hashmashes. So Tosfos says from the Gemara you see that there must be a fixed amount of time. They just don't know what the amount of time is. So in that Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed, some of the Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Peretz and a few other Rishonim, right, they think that the fixed amount of time is a chatzi shor, a half an hour. Why should it be a chatzi shor? Oh, because the Mishnah has dinim the Rabbanon that samach lemincha is a half an hour before. Samach to it, whenever there's a din, you're not allowed to do something, you have to do something. Samach to another zman, so samach by definition means a half an hour before that zman comes. Samach lemincha ktana, samach lemincha gdayla. Where did the Tanoim get this idea from? That samach, the concept of samach means within a half an hour before the other zman. So the answer is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kain, the Raisa Tikkun. There's a din there, I said like that. That samach l'shambas, you have to be mosif mechayel ala kodesh samach. You have to be mosif from 9 o'clock in the morning, you finish davening shachas, eat breakfast, you have to ready to be mosif tosefes shabbos from 9 o'clock in the morning. No, samach l'shambas. How long, how much is samach? So that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says, it must be a half an hour. And pattern after that din of samach l'shambas, you should be mosif mechayel ala kodesh. The Chachamim, whenever they wanted to institute a din the Rabbanan of samach, so they said also samach is a half an hour before whatever the other's man is. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that he remembers as a child in Europe, he said where he came from, I'm not exactly sure which, but he came from a lot of different areas,
yeah,
in different places at different times. So he said that he remembers that there was such a practice that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the women would bench lich a half an hour before the Shkiyah. To be Moshe Mechayel Al HaKadosh, Chatzi Shor, like this Rabbeinu Peretz. He said on Erev Yom Kippur, the minig used to be that they would be Moshe Mechayel Al HaKadosh an hour. They would bench lich, they would stop eating and stop malachas an hour before. And he remembers as a child, the explanation that they gave was that on Yom Kippur, you have a double hoistofer. You have to be Moshe for half an hour for malacha and half an hour for inuyim. So he didn't understand what that meant. He said he wasn't zeicha to understand. What do you mean? It's one Kedushas HaYoyim. Yom Kippur has a Kedushas HaYoyim. That's Mechayev in Issa Malacha. And it's mechayiv you to observe the inuyim. You're not allowed to have a chiddush nid. It's dealt with the same half hour. It's one kedusha sayim that goes on both. So he said he didn't understand it. And he said similarly, he didn't understand there's a magid mishnah on that Rambam in Hilchos Shvisa Sasar. And the Rambam quotes the din of Masif and Mechayel Al HaKadosh. He only quotes it by Yom Kippur. He doesn't say by Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the magid mishnah writes a comment. He thinks that according to the Rambam, even on Yom Kippur, the din of Tosefis is only for inuyim, not for malacha. You can continue to do malacha up until the Shkia, and you only have to be up until Ben Hashmashes, and you only have to be Moshe Mechayel Al HaKadosh with respect to eating. So the Makeris, the Rav said, Taina, the Makeris HaMishnah has the Taina. What do you mean? You're going to be Mekabel Kedushas Yom Kippur Lachatzoyin? You're going to be Mekabel Kedushas Hayom with respect to Inuyin, but not with respect to malacha. So what kind of a Tosefis is that? There's one opinion, the Lavush, that Taz quotes the Lavush. Taz gets all excited about this. He's excited in a proper way. He thinks that he's right. The Lavush always has Shveris Svaris. The Lavush wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch so, without looking back to the Gemara. So he, whenever he has a din that he doesn't understand, so he makes up some kind of an explanation. So very often he forgot what it said in the Gemara. So the later Achreinim are always masik on the Lavush. He made something up here, it's not correct. That's the famous story that they tell about the Shagasaryeh. That he died, I think, at the age of 90, and he was fairly healthy at the time that he died. But he went to the bookcase to take out a sefer, and the whole bookcase fell on him. And then by the time they pulled him out from under all the svarim, so he was already a geises, and he said, they all jumped him. These are all the svarim that he disagreed with. He used to always argue with the Shulchan Aruch and with the Ramon and with the Shach and with the Taz and with this one, the Rambam and Taisus and Rashi. So he says now they all jumped on him and they got him all together, and he asked Nechila from each one. Everybody was Meichel except for the Lavush. He says there's Mavazu the Lavush more than everybody else. The Lavush wasn't Meichel. But the Achreinim all have tainus against the Lavush. He has a lot of times very difficult things. So the Taz quotes this from the Lavush, that the definition of the concept of Tosefes Shabbos is midin neder. It's if the person took a neder, a shvuah, I will act as if Shabbos began. I will act as if Yom Kippur began. So the Taz says, according to the Lavush, you can make a neder, a shvuah, whatever you please. Well, you can take a neder to observe those malachas which begin with the letter Aleph to Nun, and those that begin from Samach to Tav, you will not observe. You can make whatever neder you want. And that's what the Taz has such. The Lavush says you can make a Hatoris Nadorim. Someone was mekabel to sefer Shabbos and he changes his mind. Let him go make a kandina bezin, make a torus and dorm like on a minik tard, and you'll undo your Tosefer Shabbos. So the Bush holds that it's mamish and neder. And that's why some hold you should say b'peh. Harei mekabel alak dushas hayom shel Shabbos. It's midin neder you should say b'peh. As adiok in the Mishnah Berurah that the sefer Shabbos you should be mekabel b'dibur, like all nedarim. Should be levate b'sosayim and it can be lachatzoyim. Some malachas yeh and some malachas no, and it's shayach hatoras nedarim. The pashtus is that it's very difficult. The pashtus is that the sefer Shabbos is not midin neder, not like the Levush says. The pashtus is the person is mekabel kedushas hayom alatz matvidei kach. The Gemara Sukkah had a havamina that if a person does malacha during this man of Tosefis, maybe it's chayav kares. Maybe since it was mamshech the kedushas hayom that it begins earlier, maybe it's chayav kares. You're not chayav kares for violating a neder or a shvuah.
Yeah.
So you see, it's a different word. The uptight of Tosefis Shabbos is your mekabel kedushas hayom earlier. So kamash malan apasik that there's no kares. So that's the taina that the Merkavos HaMishnah and others have against the Magen Mishnah. Magen Mishnah thought within the Rambam's opinion that Mosif HaMechoel Al HaKodesh only applies to Yom Kippur, doesn't apply to any Shabbos and Yom Tov. And even on Yom Kippur, he thought that it only applies with respect to the Inuyim, doesn't even apply with respect to the Malachas. How can it be? But the whole idea of Tosefis is not blot a neder b'yalma that you can in the Kabbalah of Tosefis lachatzoy. Like a neder, it all depends. Whatever you included is binding. Whatever you didn't include is not binding. No, the idea of Tosefis is that your mekabel kedusha sayyim b'mukdom, you're accepting the whole kedusha sayyim, so it should be benegat to malacha as well. How can you have a Tosefis lachatzoyin? That was the taina that there. So that's the taina that that the Rav had. He didn't understand why there was such a minig. Why they said. You could understand, you can say differently why there was such a minhag. The Rambam's opinion is that Tosefis is only Daraisa on Yom Kippur, so you want to be Mekayim and more Mehudadik than a regular Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But he says what Lashem and Yodam was, what the Hamaynam said, the reason why for Hefar and Hefar, Hefar for Malach and Hefar for Inuyim, so he said that he didn't think made any sense at all. But he said that was the minhag. He says there were places where he came from in Europe, he remembered. Then in every Shabbos and Yom Tov they would bench licht and be mekabel kedusha half an hour before the shkia, half an hour early, and on Erev Yom Kippur an hour early.
We do only 18 minutes before, or 20 minutes. We don't do a half hour before our
right.
Man. So how come we don't?
Right, our 18 minutes is a different story. That's v'choshish for the Yireim's opinion.
Right.
The Magen Avraham quotes the Yireim. Begins with the shkia. Right after sunset is Safik Yom Safik Lail. But he has a wild shita. He claims that Ben Ashmashu is the last Shlosha Rivei Mil. The mil is 24 minutes. A Shlosha Rivei Mil, 3/4 of a mil, is 18 minutes before the shkia is the beginning of Ben Ashmashu. So that's why the minig is that the women stop doing all melacha. Some women think, no, minig is you have to bench lich during the last 18 minutes. Samach l'Shabbos. That's not the minig. Minig is they have already completed. They have already completed doing all the malachas by the last 18 minutes before shkia.
And we don't do a half hour before.
We don't do a half hour, right.
Can we talk about that you can't do some time more than
Plaga Mincha, the Rambam writes, right. More than Plaga Mincha. Right.
40 minutes.
Right. It's really kedai. See, the Rambam's opinion is that Tosefis is only obligatory on Yom Kippur lefone al achreel. But the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shabbos, Yesh Omrim, he writes Yesh Omrim because he knows the Rambam disagrees, says Yesh Omrim Mishita Sateisus, that it's proper to be Mosim Mechorel Al HaKodesh on every Shabbos and every Yontif. So it should really be Mekabel according to this Rabbeinu Peretz, a half an hour before.
What about the Rabbana? The Rambam agrees that we present the Rabbana on Shabbos?
Very unclear. The Rambam never says anything. So the Achrenim have a whole range of suggestions what his opinion is. So some Achranim say, according to the Rambam, you're not obligated to, and even if you're Moisif, it's just not Chal. It's not even Chal. Others say, no, you're not obligated to, but if you're Moisif, it is Chal Min HaTorah. Others say, you're not obligated to Min HaTorah, Min the Rabbanon you're obligated. Or Min the Rabbanon, if you are Moisif, it is Chal Min the Rabbanon. But the Rambam never says any of those. From the Rambam is Mashma that it's not Chal at all, even Min the Rabbanon it's not Chal. So Garnish Min Garnish. The Rambam is Mashma. The only place he ever mentions Tosefes, he mentions Shemitah, that's Halacha Moshe Nisina, Tosefis Shviyas. And by Yom Kippur he says, the pasuk, "Betishalach Evinisim Esnam Shesech Metishalach Chodesh Be'erev," and Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon, you should be Moisim Mechol Hakodesh. That's the only place he mentions it. The Gemara explains there, Kol Ezrach by Sukkis is Memayit women. How come by Yom Kippur it's Marbe? So the Gemara gives a whole explanation. Why here it's Marbe and here it's Memayit? That's on Chav Ches and Beis. And that Gemara that's Taka Rebbe Akiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Birchas Hamazon of all places, when he talks about Yal V'Yavoi, forgetting Yal V'Yavoi, and Kuf Peches, quotes a suffix from the Prima Godim. Prima Godim wrote a Chibur on the Shach and the Taz. Shach and the Taz on Yeridet. Then he wrote a Chibur on Arachayim, on the Taz and the Magen Avram. Then he wrote other Svarim also. He wrote one Sefer on Chumash that's called Tevas Goyme. And every Sefer he has three Dertlach, at least three. One on Goyme is a Rashi Tevas. Gimel Mem Aleph is Gimore, Medrish Agode. What's exactly the difference between Medrish and Agode? I'm still not sure. But in every Sefer he has three or more pieces. One on Gimore, one is Halacha, and one is Medrish, and one is Agoda, means Adrush. And the Poskim sometimes quote from this Tevas Goyma. The Pischei Tshuva every so often will quote. So Rebbe Kiveger also quotes from time to time. So he quotes the Tevas Goyma by the Prima Godim, raises a suffix. What is the punchline of this Pasuk? I would have thought that women are not Mechuyev and Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, because I would have deemed it as a mitzvah sesesh as man grama. Kamashmal and the Pasuk call Ezrach, that notwithstanding the fact that it's a Zman Groma, nonetheless women are Mechuyev, it's a Yotzim et HaKlal, there are mitzvahs of Zman Groma that women are Mechuyev. And Matzah is an exception to the rule, and Kiddush is an exception. Turns out there are more exceptions to the rule than...
That's because it's a close it.
Now here this is an essay, it's not a Lois essay.
But the Yitzvah becomes a Lois essay.
So that's the suffix of the Prima Godim. See, so Mesufik, this is an Isar essay. This is not a kiyum asay. Maybe the din that the women are exempt from it, successor shazman grama, only applies to a kiyum asay shazman grama. But if it's a lab of omachlal asay, what we call an iser asay, so maybe I should treat that like an iser lois asay, that even though it's a zman grama, women are mechuyev, so he's mesupik. That's Rabbi Kivega quotes the suffix for the Prima Godim. Is this an exception to the rule that despite the fact that it's a zman grama, nonetheless women are mechuyev? No! Maybe this is chiseling down from the rule. The rule that women are potter from Zman Groma is only on a Kiyum message Shazman Groma. On Isseres Shazman Groma, women would be Mechuyev. There are other cases also. Let's say Tashbisu. After Chatzos and Erev Pesach, so Tashbisu was an Isseres. So they say women are Muzer in the Isseres of Tashbisu? Or they say no. It's an Esse Shazman Groma, women are potter, despite the fact that it's an Isseres. So that's the suffix in the Prima Godim. How to treat that drasha? What exactly is the pasuk telling him? In the Mishnah in Yuma, the Mishnah tells us: let's say a person violates one of the inuyim b'shoigeg, does he have to bring a korban chata? So the Mishnah draws a contrast between achila shtiya and the other inuyim. That achila shtiya, if a person does b'mezid, then there's kares. But if a person wears leather shoes, or violates ibeiz, or shmuz oil, is not chayv kori. So there, if the person violates b'shoigeg, he obviously will not be chayv achatas, because you only bring achatas b'shoigeg if you violate it not there, which is kosher's don't kori, so shigigos achatas. So this is a major machlokes in the Rishonim on the first Mishnah Samach. Where's the first Mishnah? Dafayin Gimel. First Mishnah on the last Perek. If everything is learned up in the same pasuk, v'nisim esnaf shesechem goes on five kinds of inuyim, so how do you pick and choose and you say, differentially, you say these two have kares, achilishti and the others don't. So this led the Rabbi Natam to believe, that Balei Ataisis to believe that all the other inuyim are only the Rabbana. If wearing leather shoes and all the other things, if that would really be their isa, so there should have been kares also. How can it be that you have one pasuk and you split it and sometimes it has kares, sometimes doesn't? So it must be that achilu shtiya is an isa deraisa that has kares and that has chatas, and all the other chomish inuyim are only the rabbanim. And from the Rambam it would appear that it's not so. The Rambam says that on Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah shabboson, so shabboson means to be shoybis from aloche and to be shoybis from all of the chomish inuyim, and he writes like it's a din deraisa. He says these have kares and these don't have kares. It doesn't bother him. How can you split? You have such a din by dam. You have psukim mechumish that you're not permitted to eat dam. And whoever eats dam is chayv koris, but it's not an old dam. Yeah. Let's say if you take a piece of flesh and you won't salt it, you'll squeeze out the blood and you drink a cup of blood. That's called dam ha'ivarim. So the dam ha'ivarim, you're not chayv koris. The dam shanashama yotzebo, the dam that comes out when you shech the animal, the dam that gushes out, the dam ha'kilua, or the dam shebelev, or the dam in the major arteries. So that that you have koris on. Now most of the dam that we salt the animals for, there's an isa deraisa, but there's no koris. So you see, it's gemalt, you can have a pasik that goes on all the kinds of dam, and some of the dam has koris, and some of it doesn't have koris. So the same on Yom Kippur, the Rambam isn't so taken by this argument. You have chomish inuim all included in the pasik v'inisim esnaf shesechem, and some of them have koris, some of them don't. It's all based on psukim and chomish. All based on psukim. That's the shaila. How serious do you have to take all the chomish inuim? Are they really all their eyes? Like the Rambam says, and any shaila, yeah, you should go the chumra sofik the raisa the chumra. Oh no, all the others achidus tias the raisa, and the others are only the rabbanon. So maybe if there's a mokam lehistapek, so maybe you have a right to say sofik the rabbanon lekula. So one of the issues that the post can bring it up is regarding nilos asandal. Nilos asandal is one of the other inuim where there's clearly no kareis. So that's a shaila. Is that the raisa or the rabbanon? So the Gemara has a machloikes hatanoim here in the last parak in Yume and in Masechah Shabbos and in Chalitza. What's the definition of a na'al? The chotzon na'al o mi'al raglo. When a man dies, married man, he leaves no descendants, leaves no children and no grandchildren or anything. So then his wife has to have Chalitza. She's not allowed to remarry without Chalitza. So when she takes off the shoe from his right foot, what kind of a shoe does it have to be? What if it's a sneaker that's made from
canvas, rubber, cloth?
What if it's not made from leather? Does the din require dafke that the definition of a na'al is leather or not? So there is a pasuk in Yecheskel that the Gemara quotes, Benolach Tochash. The Rebbe Shlom said he treated Bnei Yisrael like his favorite baby, and he diapered them, and he powdered them, and he smeared them with oil, and he straightened out their limbs like you do with a little baby. And he dressed them with nice clothing, and he put on leather shoes. Benolach Tochash. After Yitzias Mitzrayim, this was his baby. The Klal Yisrael emerged as a nation, and the Rebbe Shlom is taking care of the Klal Yisrael like one takes care of a little baby. Tochash is an animal.
I'm
not sure what it corresponds to. Okay,
that's an animal.
The Gemara says it's some kind of a kosher animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Because they took Or Tachash. They took Or Tachash for the Mishkan. So some kind of an animal that existed. Yeah. So the Gemara quotes half of the Tanaim say that in order to be called Na'al, it has to be Tachash or something similar. It has to be leather. And if it's not leather, then it's not called a Na'al. Based on that pasuk in the Cheskel, they know like Tachash. So the Gemara says it's one machlokes haTanaim by Chalitza and by Yom Kippur. If a Chalitza shoe has to be made from leather, then on Yom Kippur you're allowed to wear sneakers. And if a Chalitza shoe can be a sneaker, so then you're not allowed to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur. It's one shaila. Whether a na'al means anything that's midi de megan, anything that protects the foot, so sneakers and loafers also protect the feet. Socks don't protect the feet. So socks are not considered, no one's going
to
hold that
you
yotze chalitza by taking off a sock, and that you're not allowed to wear socks on Yom Kippur. The socks don't protect the foot. But the shot is something that does protect wooden shoes or any other kind of a shoe made from other material other than leather. Is that called a na'al? So we always know that we paskin for chalitza purposes. It has to be a na'al. It has to be leather. Right? If we're machmer for chalitza, it has to be from a kosher animal. Because once you say it has to be leather, so then we throw in another klal. When it comes to a mitzvah, it has to be kosher. A shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rana in Rosh Hashanah, you can't use a shofar from a behemoth tamei.
Yeah.
It has to be from a kosher animal. And tefillin have to have or behemoth tori, you're not allowed to use or behemoth tamei to make tefillin or mezuzah, sefer Torah, and so on. So for chalitz also, but once you establish it, you need leather, then you say it has to be from a kosher animal, like a tachash, which was a kosher animal. But that itself is questionable. That's a machloek satanah, whether you need leather at all. Some Tanaim held that that is considered a na'al, even though, as long as it's a midi de megin, even though there's no leather. So just like we paskin by chalitza, that it has to be leather to be yotze chalitza, so we paskin on Yom Kippur, it's only forbidden to wear nilas hasandal if the nail is from leather. If it's not from leather, it's mut. In effect, the pashta says that it has to be chofes rov raglo. Let's say a person has a pair of sneakers and has a little design of leather on the side. A shmek topic of leather, that's not enough to cover up roiv haregel. If it just has a little leather, it doesn't count. It has to be chofes roiv haregel, with leather on the top and leather on the bottom and so on. The pashta says you wouldn't say chatzi shir asmanatar if it's not a nal, it's not a chatzi shir. The pashta says shouldn't be awesome with the rabbanan either. If it's not a nal, so it's not awesome. If it's not a nal, it's not awesome.
Why did they say hey mamu, hey mamu, whatever they said? No, the rabbanan made the kids that this is the rabbanan, whatever they specified, that's what it should be.
Oh, so they specify whatever is a nal. So what's the definition? Let's say a person is sitting shiva. They're not allowed to wear shoes. So how do you define a nal? So the same machlokes atanoim. So the pashta says we paskin by chalitza. It has to be leather. So by shiva and by Tisha B'Av and by Yom Kippur also, it's only leather. If it's not made from leather, it's mutter. Now there are some Rishonim don't paskin like that. The Balamor has a whole arichas and masecha Shabbos. And Yevamos, and he paskins that anything that's immediately making, any shoe that protects is considered a shoe. He says for chalitza purposes is good, and for Yom Kippur purposes it's not good. You're not allowed.
The Kippur, I believe, says that a wood shoe.
Is what is mutter or rasa? Okay, so that's the chumrah. The Bach has this chumrah. The Bach recommended that you should be choshish for this opinion of the Balamor, who says that any meat is the megan, because the Balamor paskins like those tanoim. It's a machlokes tanoim and a machlokes rishonim, which tan it's a paskin like. So the Bach is the one who suggested that you should be machmir not to wear anything that's megan. Rubber shoes also. Socks are not megan. Yeah, without shoes.
Slippers? How about slippers?
He would hold the slippers also megan. So many were machmer. They say the Chazanish was machmer on rubbers, and he wouldn't give an aliyah to a person who would wear rubbers on Yom Kippur, because the rubbers are a little bit megan, not so much megan, a little bit megan. The Rav used to say, based on the Rambam, the Rav used to say you have to wear sneakers that don't have an arch. If you have an arch, you're not allowed to. Why? Because the Loshon HaRambam, the Rambam doesn't write like the Balamor that the din is anything that's megan. Not at all. But the Rambam writes that as long as you margish koshi ha'aretz, as long as when he puts his foot on the ground, he feels the hardness of the ground, so then there's no violation of nilas hasandal. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's the mashmoyes of the Loshon HaRambam.
So they don't be the soul maybe a not the upper part.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's a chongis then. That's the chat. It doesn't really say it in the Rambam. That's what he thought. If you have sneakers with arches, you're not allowed to. Because you're not margish koshi horitz. And if you have sneakers without arches, he thought that that would be permissible. And the reason why they were, why they so machmer for, in the Shulchan Aruch it says, and the big Shulchan Aruch it says, any shoes that are not made from leather is mutter. So why did the Bach come dig up, why did he reopen the issue of Balamor? Who's worried about the Balamor? For so many generations, they never had any Balamor. They didn't have the manuscript of the Balamor. So the answer is because he was choshish for the Rambam, that all the chomishi knew him are their Isa. And it's like maybe it's achshash deraisa, shashisa deraisa. In the middle of Shiva, in the middle of Tisha B'Av, he wouldn't be so machmir. Shiva and Tisha B'Av are mekel to wear sneakers. But at Yom Kippur, they're concerned it's achshashisa deraisa. So that's why the Bach recommended that one should be machmir for the Balamor Shita, that maybe anything that's megan, meter to megan, would be awesome.
But we are wearing as much of a
That's the Shaila, yeah, that's the Bach's Taina. It's not an Inunah, but Shulchan Aruch says it's Mutta. Shulchan Aruch says it's Mutta. One of the Rabbanim who was very close to the Stipler Goyen, the Stipler was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. One of the brother-in-law, he had up to 13, 14 brothers and sisters, yeah. So they were all, yeah, very big family. The father was a Rav in Europe, and all the brothers were Rabbanim, and all the sisters married Rabbanim. It was a Mishuna Dika family. They were all unusual, original thinkers. So the Stipler was one of the brothers-in-law, the Chazon Ish at Keret HaShidduch. So one of the Rabbanim now keeps on putting out Svarim Hanhogas of the Stipler. He learned by the Stipler as a child in 1941, 1942. And then after that, he learned with him Keseda for 45 years until he died. For 45 years he learned with him all the time. He always came to shir and always watched when he sneezed on Yom Kippur, how many times he went to the bathroom, how did he wash his hands, everything he wrote. So he writes that the Stipler, they had a Beis HaKisei in Letterman Shul in Bnei Brak, where the Stipler used to daven, so they have a bathroom. So they were all machmer, the Chazon Ish is chumer, no one wore any slippers, no one wore any rubbers, but they used to have a pair of slippers in front of the bathroom when you go in, because sometimes it was wet on the floor. Yeah. So they didn't want people to get their socks wet. The Stipler didn't even put on when he went to the bathroom. When he came out, his socks were wet. So he would walk around on the grass outside on the sand a little bit to dry off his socks. He was machma not to wear the rubbers. That rubbers there for everyone to wear. Slippers. He wouldn't even wear. Because the Chazon Ish once said to the Gabbai, shouldn't give an aliyah to Pliny. So, who is the Balkoire? Yeah. They didn't give an aliyah to the Balkoire.
Why did they
give an aliyah? So he said because of his wearing slippers. So he stopped. So he was
the Balkoire. So it's not supposed to be the
Balkoire. It's a different thing. It's a steer. Avada. Humra. Here the Mishnah has on pay base. I mean, Mishnah has the din of chinuch. Mentioned specifically regarding Yom Kippur, and then the Gemara explains that if a child is healthy, there are different opinions here in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, but the basic sheet is if a child is healthy, so 2 years before Bar Mitzvah he should fast the whole day, and 2 years before, 2 years before, you should have him fast a half a day. Before that, you shouldn't allow the child to fast at all. The kids always like to show that they fast the whole day. So the Yishalmi says the parents should try to insist that the kids do whatever they want. But the parents should insist that the children should eat only if the child is healthy. So 2 years before, if he's not healthy, he's not. But if he's healthy, if they're up until 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, should fast the whole day. And 2 years before that, fast the half a day. So by girl, it's a year earlier, because the girls become Bas Mitzvah at 12, and a boy becomes Bas Mitzvah at 13. So the 2 years and the 2 years is before that.
Some or other at night, from Kippur night, did not feed anything to the children, the young ones, the night some.
Because they just ate, they said. Because they just ate. You know, the whole Medubar is only on breakfast. Shabbos on breakfast. Okay. The stomach.
But this is only Shafa Yom Kippur, but other Tanis, the child does not have to.
Right. The Mishnah Berurah says that by the other Tanis, and Tisha B'Av, and some Gedalia, and Asara B'Teves,
there's no
not Mechanech at all up until actual Bar Mitzvah. Some communities have a minig, the last three Tanis and before, so that's neither here nor there. On Yom Kippur, some have a minig, the last three Tanis and before they become Bar Mitzvah. That's not enough. He has to fast the two Yom Kippurs before.
The
Tisha B'Avs and the Asara B'Teves and the Sanhedrin don't have to fast anything at all. This three Tanis and before is not based on some minig, but it's not based on Poskim. Maybe the children were undernourished, maybe they weren't so strong, so maybe that's why they couldn't give them the real din of chinuch. But in America, all the children are over healthy, and they should have the chinuch 2 years before and 2 years before. Here the Rishonim are all bothered with the kasha. How come over here the Mishnah says you have to have chinuch? And then the Gemara has in the end of Yevamos cut nechel nevelus. You allow the kid to eat tray for food, and there's no din of chinuch. How come all of a sudden over here there is a din of chinuch? How do you decide when there is chinuch, when there's no chinuch? So the Rishonim have two answers, and it's really a big split. Like 50-50, half of the Rishonim give one a pay base on an olive. Tosis Shishonim has it, and the Ritvo has it, and there in Yevamos you have it. All the Rishonim have this big machlokes. Half of them give one answer, half give the other answer. So half of the Rishonim say chinuch is only on the father. The father has a din of chinuch. The Gemara says in the end of Lulav HaGozel, when the child is old enough, the father buys him a pair of tefillin. The father should see to it that he has tzitzis. The father has to buy him a lulav and a nesik. Everything is on the father. The Gemara says the cut nechel on the bed is saying bezdim in tzuvon lafisha. That's others. Bezdim means strangers. Outsiders are not mechuyev, but the father is always mechuyev. The father has to see to it that his children don't eat treifis and they don't do malach on Shabbos. Father is mechuyev on all lachinah. Doesn't make a difference mitzvah sesei, mitzvahs loisase, the difference is father versus others, acherim. And the other half of the Rishonim say, no, it does make a difference to father and others. The difference is between mitzvah sase and mitzvah loisase. On a mitzvah sase, there's such a concept as ain't a mitzvah v'yoyse. Women volunteer to shake a lulaviv, now they're not mechuyim. So a cotton is not a bar chiyuva, but if he'll shake a lulaviv, he'll have a kiyuv, as an ain't a mitzvah v'yoyse. So it's everybody's chiyuv, not only the father. It's a desmond stranger also to encourage the child to insist that the child should volunteer the mitzvah sese as an ene mitzvah v'yoyse, the tam chinuch, that he should have a kiyum. And loy sese, and averis, there's no such thing as ene mitzvah v'yoyse. The kohanim are not allowed to go to a funeral, so even though I'm not a kohen, I'll be machmer not to go to a funeral. There's no heder, there's no kiyum if you volunteer a loy sese. Let's say men are not allowed to shave off their beard with a razor. Women are allowed to if a woman has a payas, a beard. She's allowed to shave it off. So the woman will volunteer to be machmir in mitzvah v'yoyse. There is no kiyum. And the loy sese, if it's mutter, it's mutter. There's no heder in volunteering as an ene mitzvah v'yoyse. So that's what the other Rishonim answered. That it's not so much father versus strangers. No, it's not true. The din of chinuch is not mutter on the father. The din of chinuch is mutter on the child. That's a machlekes in brachas. Where the din of chinuch is midirabbanim mutal on the child, or the din is mutal on the father. So if the Rishonim hold the din of chinuch is mutal on the child, midirabbanim, namely, that although the child is ainu mitzvah midirabbanim, he should volunteer as an ainu mitzvah v'yoseh to have a kiyum. So the kiyum only makes sense on a mitzvah sesei. On a mitzvah sesei, it doesn't make sense. So that's what the Gemara says, kot neichel nevelis. And no one is mitzvah l'afrisha, not the father and not the strangers, because nevelis is a loisess. But eating on Yom Kippur is not only an avera, fasting on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. The nisim is a kiyum mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah. That's how the Rambam writes. Whoever eats on Yom Kippur is an avera. Whoever fasts on Yom Kippur, is a kiyum mitzvah sesa. So that's why there is a din of chinuch on Yom Kippur for fasting. We have to see to it that the children first.
2 years before, what is the reason? 2 years because of strength of
health,
the kid?
Yeah, strength. And if he's not strong enough, then not.
Then you don't have to wait.
So in the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote this in Hilchas Shabbos and Shin Mem Gimel, is the siman in Hilchas Shabbos by Chinuch HaKtanim. So the Mechaber quotes to be machmer for both opinions. So he says the father has to be mechanech his children before bar mitzvah and everything. Mitzvah says and mitzvah sloy says it. Because 50% of the Rishonim say doesn't make a difference, essay law says it makes a difference father and strangers. But strangers only have to be mechanech the little children who are not theirs, an essay not in law says it, that's for sure not. A stranger on a law says it, for sure not. That's the Gemara, called Nechel Nevelis, and that's in the Suvan Laf Rishoy. So that's the Shulchan Aruch quotes the both opinions in the Rishonim Lahachmer, and the only area where we say there's no Indian of Chinuch at all is loy sese legabi acherim other than the father. Yeah, why is it taka that on the other tanesim there's no chinuch? The Mishnah Berurah just quotes the psak from the achreinim. He doesn't give any explanation why. So that's what the Shagasarya writes, right? That all the other tanesim are based on avedas, and just like we said earlier, there's no chinuch on avedas. There's no chinuch on fasting on some gedalion, on sar betavis and shivasa betamis. Because that's an Indian, that's a nihu gavelis. If that's the explanation, then it will not apply to Tainus Esther. Because the Rishonim called Tainus Esther a Tainus Shel Simcha. No tragedy occurred on Tainus Esther. Adarab, everything worked out well. And we fast and we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like everything worked out well there, he should save us now as well. So we're not really fasting as a sign of avelis or anything. We have tzoris. The fasting is because we have tzoris. So we imply by our fasting, you fast the Tainus B'Yisrael. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like we fasted in the days of Marta V'Yester, the fasting helped, give us a geula from our tzoris now. But it's not really a nihu gavelus. So Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes this in his Tshuvas. He talks about why there's no chinuch and avelus. He has different suggestions. So he quotes the Shagasarya, who says that this is the reason why there's no chinuch and fasting and Asara B'Tavis and Shavasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av because no chinuch and avelus. He doesn't think that that's the reason. He thinks that you don't do chinuch ois too much in the kid. Yom Kippur is a mitzvah min ha-tari, so you much ois the kid, you make him fast the whole day, half a day, 2 years before, 2 years before, 2 years before. But he says on the other Tanesim is only with the Rabbanon, so to much ois the child to make him fast is not kiddai. So according to what Rav Moshe suggested, it wouldn't make a difference whether it's a Tainus Esther or the other Tanesim. Kabbalah of Kinder. Yeah, Rav Moshe had Rachmanis of Kinder. Yeah. The Gemara has the whole sugi, the last daf in Yuma. The Gemara has a whole discussion regarding Rechitzes, one of the Hamishi Inuyim. So the Gemara says it's only forbidden if it's Rechitzes Shal Tainuk. If it's a rechitza shal mitzvah, let's say a kohen gadol goes to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, and it does kiddush daim, it goes five times to the mikvah, and it does kiddush daim raglaim 10 times on Yom Kippur. What's with the rechitza? All of these are minat Torah. Some of these are only with the rabbanim. Not all the 10 kiddush daim raglaim, and not all of the 5 tefillas in the mikvah are all deraisa. The Gemara says some of them are only with the rabbanim. So how would they matter when he said deraisa? So the answer is no. It's only usur if it's a rechitza shal tainim. If it's l'shem mitzvah, then it's mutah. Let's say the Kohanim wash before they go to Duchen. And some of the Kohanim is that the Levim wash their hands before they pour the water on the Kohanim's hands. Apparently that minig comes from the Zohar. So the Achrenim say, but it doesn't say in the Gemara that the Levim should wash, it's only from the Zohar. So they're permitted to wash on Yom Kippur also. Maybe an Isa deraisa. So the Mata Ephraim says that it's okay. That in the Mekoymus, where that's the minig, that the Levim wash their own hands before they wash the Kohanim's hands, that's also Rechitza Shal Mitzvah. Whatever is Rechitza Shal Mitzvah is not labeled as Rechitza Shal Tainug, so Mikar Adin, it's Mutah. There's no violation. So here the Gemara discusses that at one time in history there was a Takonas Ezra, but a Balkari is not allowed to daven. So let's say a person becomes a Balkari, a man becomes a Balkari in the middle of Yom Kippur. He didn't daven Musaf yet, he didn't daven Minch, he didn't daven Nila yet. So the Gemara says, Hotanish Kembreri, he has to go to the mikveh. That's not called a Rechitza Shal Tainim. That's a Rechitza Shal Mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is only with the Rabbanan. Doesn't matter. The fact that he's doing it L'shem Mitzvah, he's doing it as a religious ceremony. He's not doing it to have Anoah. So that takes off the definition. By definition, it's not a Rechitza Shal Tainim. So that would be Mutah.
The time of the year?
The time of the day. Time of the day.
Whether we have certain dinim there, it's during the summertime or during the wintertime. People shouldn't think he's doing it for
The Gemara has a different din. A person took a neder not to get anor from a river. So is he allowed to be toivel in it? So the Gemara says, mitzvah lavli honest nitznu. So if he's toivel, tefillah shel tahara, that's not called getting anor. But if it's in the summertime and he's all perspired, then he's mamish gets physical anor. Yeah. I mean, here on Yom Kippur, if he really gets it, he's all perspired and he gets anor from going to the mikvah, maybe it will be awesome. Maybe that will be a rechitza shel tahara. The only motivating force that you have is only doing it l'shem mitzvah. But if he has personal hanor blended in also, l'shmo, it's probably not permitted. It's probably not permitted. Huh? Satmar Rav was make a leaf in his manazeh. The Gemara says that all the Rishonim say on the Gemara that now that Takana says it no longer applies, that we paskin that you're permitted to daven, even a Balkari is allowed to. The Gemara says they were matter learning. The Takana says originally was that Balkari is neither permitted to learn nor permitted to daven. Then the Gemara says in Brochus, in the end of the second parak, that they abolished in the later generations. They were mevatel. Rabbi Rebbe said was mevatel at Takana says with respect to learning, that you're allowed to learn even though the person is a Balkari. What about the daven? So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim and Mikar Adin. We're mekel. We paskin a Balkari is permitted to daven, even though he didn't go to mikvah. So the Hasidim are machmir to follow the opinion of the Ravid. The Ravid holds that the Takana says that a Balkari is not allowed to learn, not allowed to daven. It's only repealed with respect to learning, with respect to davening, it's still betokfa. So Mikar Adin, we don't pass him like the Ravid. We pass him like the Rambam, that the Balkari is permitted to daven. But Mios Tov, Al Tikri Ra, so the Hasidim are machmer to go to mikveh before they daven also. But the Shal is machmer to go to mikveh. But what if it's Yom Kippur? So let's say a person is a Balkari, he became a Balkari on Yom Kippur. So you say he's allowed to go to mikveh because he's choshish for the Ravid Shita. But let's be choshish for the Rambam Shita. Let's be choshish for what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you don't have to go to mikveh. You're allowed to daven without going to mikveh. So then the rechitza will be labeled as a rechitza shal tainig. The only time it's not called a rechitza shal tainig if you're really required to go to the mikveh. So the Satmar Rebbe wrote a tshuva, he was mekel on this. The same as the Matthew Ephraim says, that the Levim are allowed to wash their hands before they wash their hands of the Kohanim. Why? It doesn't say in Allah, it doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say in the Gemara. The Zohar says that Zohar recommends that the Levim should wash their hands first. So since the Levim, when they wash, they're not interested in tiny, they're doing L'shem Ahidur, the Hidur from the Zohar. So that's it. The Apostles say that takes off the status of Isa Rechitza Shal Tainig. So So if the Hasidim are machmer for the Shitas arrive that a Balkari has to go to mikveh, so that also takes off the status of a Chitzus Shel Time. That's what he
passed. Some shows where Balkaris before was Shoshanim and Tokhu the Shoshanim, they go to the mikveh. And that extra minute before they dab until the Omid. Would that be considered like a mikveh and Kippur?
In the middle of Yom Kippur, he realizes that he didn't have a chance to go to mikveh. Would we allow him to go to mikveh? The Stama the Satmar Rebbe would allow him, and all other rabbis would probably not allow him. The Pashto says that it's not permissible. It's not proper to do it. If a person is a Balkari, and he wants to be machmir to go to mikveh before he davens. Like the Ravid, even though we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, that you don't have to, but those who are machmir for the Ravid, so he said that it's permissible. The Rambam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify on him, that's what he writes in the Aruch HaZakeh, that he always went to mikveh before he davened. He was a closet chassid. He always went to mikveh before he davened. He never violated Takana says, even though he writes that the din is the Takana Sezer no longer applies, but since there was a Takana Sezer, and the only reason why they repealed it is because it's the Gzeirish and Rav Atzibi Chodom Lamed Bo, Chassidim Anshi Maisa, who are able to observe it, should. That's how the Kesef Mishnah says Pshat and the Raman. That's how it's more like that. That usually when a Gzeir is repealed, no Takana, no Takana, so forget it. So what is the Midas Chassidus? So the Rambam says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify on me that I never daven without going to Mikveh first, because there is an Inyan to be machma for the Takana says, even though it's repealed, it still is kedai to be machma. So the Gemara raises an issue. Let's say the person, at the time that the Takana says is still intact, still betokfah. So if the person became a Balkari, didn't daven shachris yet. So we would tell him he has to go to the mikveh to enable himself to daven shachris. Didn't daven musaf, didn't daven mincha. What if he daven shachris, musaf, mincha, didn't daven ne'ilah? Would we allow him to go to mikveh on Yom Kippur? Or should we tell him got plenty of time? Wait till Seisa Kechavim, go to the mikveh after Yom Kippur, and daven up Nila. Balayla, who says you have to daven by Yom? So the Gemara says that's a machloikis amoroim, Rava Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara has a Shaila Tanoim, but the Yerushalmi has a machloikis amoroim, had a paskin, Rava Rabbi Yochanan, where the Nila is supposed to be a tefillah that's recited on Yom Kippur, or Nila can be recited on Matzoh Yom Kippur. Mincha the Gemara assumes you have to daven before the Tzeisa Kecham.
You know what I meant about Tzvila? The Rambam was going to make the body daven. He daven Shabbos or even before Mincha?
No, he went on to the morning.
All the time. Yeah. He always did. No, if he became a Balkari. If he's not a Balkari, he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Right. He writes, he was always careful not to daven in the state of being a Balkari. So Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam says, Mikra din, you don't have to. So the Rambam probably would not go to mikveh on Yom Kippur. Not probably. The Rambam says, you don't wash until it's your daim on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to wash until it's your daim on Yom Kippur. We do. We follow Tosis. But the Rambam says, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to go to mikveh Bizman Hazeh because the Takana says it doesn't apply anymore. He observed it as a midas chassidus, but mikra din it doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is talking to his man that Takana says it was still betokfo, when it still was binding. So the Gemara says, if he didn't daven shachris, he didn't daven musaf, he didn't daven mincha, hotish kembrer, he has to go to mikveh, so that's a tefillah shal mitzvah, that's not called v'chitza shal taina. So that's permissible to be tovel on Yom Kippur. But ne'ila, depends on the shayla, can you daven ne'ila balaylo or not? Right, so on Shulchan Aruch we paskin that you're supposed to say Nila Bayom.
Right.
You are supposed to say Nila Bayom. So there again two versions in Yerushalmi, and the Rosh quotes the whole thing here on Pei Zayin, the Rosh, at the end of the Masechta. What do you mean Nila should be Bayom? It's enough if you begin Bayom, or no, you should complete the whole Nila Bayom. You should finish, the Chazan should finish the whole, like Mincha has to be Bayom. The Chazan has to finish the whole Chazaras HaShatz HaMincha before the Shkia. And if it's so late that it looks like the Chazan will not finish, that says in Shulchan Aruch, you make a Hechad Kedusha. You don't do a Chazaras HaShatz. You're supposed to finish the whole Chazaras HaShatz before Shkia. So what's with the story that Nila should be Bayom? What does that mean? Maspik, it's efficient if you begin Bayom, to declare it as a Tfilos Hayom, that it should be Mitzurif to Yom Kippur, but then as long as you began by Yom, you can continue into Laila. No, you have to complete the whole Tfilah by Yom. So that's a further machlokes. So the pashtus is that we should really paskin. You should complete the whole nila by yom. You shouldn't even finish balayla. But because the minig developed that you blow shayfer after nila is over, and all the balabatim run home and they start doing malachas and they start eating. So most of the shuls they don't finish nila by yom. And some yeshivas they do. Some yeshivas they finish nila before the shkia and then they sit and they learn. Or give a drasha, and they have marav later. They know that they know their customers. None of their customers are going to do malacha until way after the tzeisach comes. So there's no chashash. But in most shuls, they're afraid to rely on that. We should finish nila bayom and blow shayfer before the shkia, and then falazach that the balabatim will know that they're not allowed to do malacha. They're not allowed to eat until after tzeisach comes. It's too risky. So that's why the minig is lahakel on this. So since the minig is lahakel that the chazan doesn't finish nila until the middle of the night, so that's why there was a big machlokes in Europe. What's herzach meduchenin? The Mishnah says he's supposed to duchen by nila. Normally you don't duchen by mincha because you choshish l'shikris, because you choshish that maybe the kohen had a drink. But on a tonis, nobody had a drink, so you should duchen by. So the Mishnah says you duchen by nila. Nila was a prayer that they offered every tainis siba, not just on Yom Kippur. It's not a tefillah that's miyuchad for Yom Kippur. It's a tefillah on a tainis. He say nila on Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is a tainis, and every tainis he say. So the Yerushalmi, the Rosh quotes Yerushalmi, and the end of tainis sounds like it says that you don't say nila balayla because nila is you don't duchen balayla. Because duchening is hukash to hakrovas karbonis. The pasuk says Hakadosh Baruch Hu chose shevet kuhuna, shevet leviya, ki bo bachar Hashem is levarcho or levarach b'shmo. So what does it mean?
Lama
l'sharsa or levarach b'shmo, to be makriv karbonis and to recite birchas kohanim. So the Yerushalmi sounds like it made a hekish over here. Just like Sheiris is only Bayom, Hakrovis Karbonis is only Bayom, that's the Rosh on page Tzadik Beis, on the second column, in the end of Ois Chav, in the end of Yuma. So the Yerushalmi sounds like it says, just like Sheiris is only Bayom, Hakrovis Karbonis is only Bayom, so too, Duchenin can only be Bayom, so if the Chazin is only up to the end of Nila, in the middle of the night, after the Shkia, so you don't Duchen. So in the Rishonim and in the Achronim they quote, the only place in the world that they used to duchen balayla by Nila was in Frankfurt. The minhag Frankfurt is that they duchen by Nila even though it's in the middle of the night. The Bogan Avron quotes it from the Maharil, and the Dake Moshe quotes it, and they all complain that it's not proper to duchen by Nila balayla because of this Yerushalmi. It says you only duchen by Yom. So the Maharil is not happy about it, but he defends the practice. He writes a teretz on it. And the Shagasari also, in the Sefer, at the end of the, he wrote the Sefer Gvuras Ari, Amaseches Tainus, so he also defends the Minhag Frankfurt, and he says the Pasuk never said that Duchening is to be compared to Avodas Hadam. When you bring Karbon, there are some Karbonas that you may bring Balayla. Haktaras Emurim, you may do Balayla, and Nisach Hayayin may also be done Balayla. When the chasmin is came, I feel a balaylo. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. You can do nisach hayayim balaylo. So which avodas cannot be done balaylo? Avodas adam. The dalar avodas adam. Shchita kabbalah lochas rika. That cannot be done balaylo. So that's with the achrayim time. The Shagasari with the Maharil centuries before. They taina that it doesn't really say it in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi does not. This is the Rosh's interpretation of Yerushalmi. One could have read the Yerushalmi differently. But there is a hekish between hakrovas hakorbanis and duchening. So they say it's not necessarily hukash to the avodas adam. It's hukash to hakrovas karbanis. That a shikr is not allowed to be makar of any karbanis. A shikr is not allowed to duchen. But to say that the hekish tells you that you can only duchen by yom, so many achrenim tain is not so. Yeah, but Mikra did, it may be done up until the Shkia. Right. So that's the Shaila. What about Balayla? This week is Parshas Hazinu. So the Chumash says in Hazinu, Hashem Bodod Yamchenu Ve'eni Mol El Nechor. So the Rishonim have two Pshotim. That's the last Pasuk in the second Aliyah. The Rishonim have two pshatim. Hashem badad yanchen. Badad means the Ribbono Shel Olam all alone, and nobody assisting God. Hashem yanchen leklal Yisrael badad. Bnei Yisrael badad. Two ways to read the pasuk. Ramban has the two pshatim. Other Rishonim, they're not sure how to read it. So the pasuk pshat sounds like Hakadosh Baruch Hu is all badad, and the fact that the pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael are Betach Bodod and Yaakov, that Klal Yisrael Bodod, that's because we are Bonim Lamokim, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is different and unique, and he doesn't blend in with anything else in the world. It's not shy to compare the Ribbono Shel Olam to anything else. So too, Bnei Yisrael never blend in with any of the other nations, because we are Bonim Lamokim, we have the same genes, just like the children carry on the genes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we're also Bodod. So that's usually assumed to be, the Netziv and others, right, that's usually assumed to be the source of anti-Semitism. That's not the problem. The media always... Why is Esau Seinu Yaakov? Because they're always different. The class are always different. There's always something very different. And people always like, you see a Shvarzer, so you choshed right away. Misnagdim, see a Chassid walk in, the Choshed right away. Or by Chassidim, a Misnagd walks in clean shaven, the Choshed right away. What's the matter? He's a religious guy. He davens also. If there's something different, you're always Choshed right away. There's something, there's always a Chashad for the people who are different. So that's why the Yom HaSoylem are always Choshed Bnei Yisrael. They're always different. The Ribbono Shel Olam should help us that we should be Nitzol from the Tzoras now. All the media are presenting everything in a very different perspective. Totally different perspective from the way we see things. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Badot, so he has to help us out. We are his partner.